Hello, this is Mike Paulson from North Dakota, at least at this time North Dakota, who knows anymore. I have been away from the website for quite a while, I'm sure some of you realize that, but during this whole time of absence as such, I've had continual thoughts. I have not left the website from my heart. I have been there, as people like to say. I've been there in heart and spirit, just not physically. You know, all the times I've been writing this thing out, doing schoolwork and being involved with this and finally getting some rest and bringing my health back to shape a little bit, I have always had thoughts and answers towards things that I have run across, things that were sent to me, answer questions. I didn't respond to a lot of them right away. I just was not able to and still get my rest. That was my whole point for being gone from the website. Priorities. And I made the school job my priority for a while. But all during that time, questions would come rolling through. There'd be sermon topics I would think of. I'd set aside in a little stick-em note or sticky note or whatever you call them. I would want to challenge some things I heard or things that I'd read or things that people would pop out in newspapers or whatever, you know. I would get sent to me on the internet here through the Bible Answers and those types of things. I would see some of the craziest answers that these pastors and these scholars and these Bible answer men and people come up with. They're you know, quote unquote stupid answers. They're deceptive, they're false, and they lead people towards that person's smart, that person's programs, that person's answers, because he knows it all. He's got the Greek down, and he loves Paul, he loves Jesus, he loves John, they love Mark, they love Peter, they love everybody. And they just pick and choose to find out their answers. I had one sermon I wanted to do about the rapture and tribulation. This guy was mixing in Matthew and Mark with Thessalonians, dealing with the tribulation. And obviously, he must not have in his Bible the word elect, because those are verses in Matthew and Mark to the Jews, and the Thessalonians is Paul, the risen Savior, to the Gentiles. They're just trying to combine everything. And that gets to me. That bothers me. I want to deal with it. I want to call him up. I want to write to him. I want to say something online. I want to get a sermon out. Back when I was a pastor in the state of Washington, I had time to study. I had time to prepare. But one thing I wasn't getting, and that was experience in the common world of employment. Well, now that I've had that, I sure do wish I had more of that time to sit down and respond to everything that we see. But I've also realized that I could give my heart and my time to my job, to schoolwork, to writing music for the kids and putting arrangements together for the singing and get all this stuff going at two different concerts and a musical and the whole thing. And what benefit is there in the long run? You wonder about that. Just like all the things that we could do, we'd want to talk to people. We'd want to show them the answers. We'd want to show them the scriptures. We'd want to say, listen, that isn't how it goes. But I think many of you have come to realize that even if you give them the best answer you could come up with scripture upon scripture, explain it as simply and completely as possible, they're not going to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. So anyway, let's keep going here. I would see the misuse of Paul's scriptures, for example, mixing them in, like I said earlier here, with Matthew and Mark, and they go back to Peter with this, and Jude, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John especially, and they just, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. They just hate this Paul-only thing. I would see constantly a Bible reference written down someplace, either on a card or a newsletter or a magazine article. Somebody's trying to, you know, speak for Jesus with an ad in a magazine for South Dakota or whatever, and you see scriptures that are used that are not what God says. They're not from the King James Bible. And last I knew, years and years ago, that if you don't write your scripture reference with the reference down there, your scripture verse with that reference, other than King James Bible, it was a copyright issue. You're not able to do it. You have to put down what Bible you got that verse from, except King James Bible did not have to do that because there was no copyright rule. Still isn't. But apparently people nowadays are just putting together scriptures and writing them down and making it look like that's just what Jesus said or the Bible says or whatever. And you and I both know, that's just wrong. You know? And it challenges our understanding. Because we want to help people. It challenges our peace and our joy. Because we are seeing people deceived. We are seeing people lied to. And we see the response from these folks. And we picture their death, their post-death time, we'll call it, which is saying they're going to be put forth at the white judgment, you know, the white throne judgment, and they're not going to be where they think they are. They're going to be in the wrong army. They're going to be fighting the very Jesus they thought they were being saved by. It's really quite the thing if you look ahead into the future. But anyway, so it does challenge us to see these things. There's an awful lot of good public relations for Jesus now, and movies are coming back, the Bible on television, the Ten Commandments was redone, they've got ads, they've got things in magazines, they've got more trinkets and jewelry now being sold in different stores other than the religious bookstores, you know, these little gifts and things. I continue to receive emails from people that don't realize where I'm coming from up in these parts here, and they send, I call them, you gotta see this. You got to see these emails, it says. And it's just some religious stuff that, you know that if you write back, it's going to light a fire. And you know that if you don't write back, then you feel bad about that too. So it puts us in a boat, doesn't it, that we don't want to be in some cases. I remember the days, here we go, an old person thing. I remember the days when I could talk to somebody about their Bible and they would listen and they would be surprised at the different version. They would be surprised at what had been changed from, and they were interested. I remember the days I could talk to people about music, and they'd be interested. But today, they have their religion only, and they get mad at us for having the risen Savior teachings through Paul only, King James Bible only. They want everything only. Oh, well. Then I would see writings or letters or whatever from people going to websites of these Paul preachers, I would call them, and yet I see them very weak, W-E-A-K, weakly using of Paul. They're not talking about the affairs of his life, because that's what's supposed to be preached. We're not talking about the manner of life. They're just talking about the neatness or the excitement of his doctrines that deal with the church and how they can be so right in this particular denomination, because they are a denomination, the grace world, that's a denomination, just like Lutherans and Baptists. And I think once you take that denominational status, that shows that you're not on the right trail. But you're getting more people coming to your church. Yeah, well, we should all realize by now that if there's something growing, there's something must be wrong in numbers. Not that we don't have enough people on our website, for example, but we kind of taper out. Some join, some leave, some join, some leave, some write, and they talk to me for a while, then they realize I am what I am, and then they leave. Or there's all sorts of things that take place. So we know there's a battle that takes place within truth. But these Paul guys out there, does not the devil have to mess with the King James Bible? Well, he did that by blinding people to rightly dividing. Does not the devil have to mess with the Paul people? Sure he does. He's got to show them the joy of some of the doctrine, but mess up with their life. So maybe the devil doesn't get their soul through a false salvation, like I really believe without a shadow of a doubt the other churches and denominations put forth as a false salvation. So somebody may get a true salvation out of a King James Bible rightly divided with a weak Paul, but the judgment seat of Christ that they're going to have is going to be void. It's going to be empty. And that's too bad. It does not have to be that way. Once a person learns the truth, once a person learns how to read his Bible, rightly divide everything, he will find out that Timothy and Titus are two of the greatest books for those people to study and to learn. It'll change their walk. It'll bring persecution, no doubt, but it'll bring them rewards in the judgment seat of Christ. And if you don't want to look at it from a reward standpoint, look at the fact that you're pleasing God in your day-to-day walk. They don't talk about that stuff. And that just irks me to no end, because I know that stuff brings persecution. I know that stuff brings loss of family, loss of friends. And if you're not careful, loss of job. It shouldn't affect your joy, and it brings a greater understanding. It builds your faith stronger when you realize your faith, it's His faith that we're standing on. But anyway, everybody knows how to flatter and make them happy and make them satisfied. And yes, there is a buck in it, but I don't want to bash the bucks too much, because money that comes in here is still needful and still useful and is still used properly. But anyway, there is a need. There is a need to rebuke and to reprove. And it seems to me like the Paul guys really don't do it unless you're just caught up in a different church thing. I do see Romans 11:22. I answer that to a lot of people. Romans 11:22 become more and more true each day. Every day passes, I see something, I read something, And I realize that fewer and fewer people want to hear from a King James Bible. Those that want to hear from a King James Bible don't want to hear from it rightly divided. And those that want to hear from a rightly divided King James Bible that talks about the risen Savior, they still like that, but they don't want to hear again. Here I go again, Timothy and Titus. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. There's a difference there now. On them which fell, the whole chapter is talking about the Jews which have crashed and crumbled. But toward thee, and the chapter is also comparing that to the Gentile nation, not to an individual person. Goodness. But toward thee, goodness. So it's the Gentile nation. It's us today that have the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is not based on your walk. It's not based on your, well, I'm getting off my subject here. Let's get back to it here. The goodness of God. Then he says, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. The Gentile nation's about to get cut off. Every day it seems closer. Every day we turn away from all sorts of truth. We turn away from the goodness of God. And we know what's coming. A few of us know what's coming. And that's the day when the tribulation, there has to be a tribulation come following this dispensation of grace. And that's something else I see people struggling with. And I don't know. I guess you just have to understand Paul and the goodness of God to realize the difference of what the tribulation preaches. And again, that will go back to the severity of God because that's what the Jews get. There is a difference. We're not going to move, we're not in the tribulation, and we're not going to suddenly grow into the tribulation. It's going to be gradual. So we're going to see things that are closer and closer towards what tribulation doctrine will be. Closer and closer to what tribulation activities will be. Things taking place in nature, for example, will come closer and closer. But when the tribulation is here and all that stuff comes flying, none of us has seen anything like what's going to take place during the tribulation. So this cannot be the tribulation. It just cannot be. All this hoopla about the red moon here this last weekend, well, nothing happened. So if that was truly it, then we must be in the tribulation, but nothing happened. So I hope that was an encouragement to somebody thinking, well, I guess we're not. Yeah, now stand solid on Paul and get over the fact that this is the tribulation. We're saved from God's wrath. Ephesians talks about that. I'm getting off the trail here. It's going to end up being a long sermon. But this isn't the tribulation, folks. And they're not going to have to go through the tribulation. I have to make that another subject here, I guess, sometimes. Another audio one. I'll see if this one even loads and even works here. Do you realize that Satan can make bad things happen to make it look like it was from God to keep people on a wrong trail? I mean, not only can Satan do miracles, you know, to make it look like this is from God, but he can do bad things. He can do things that look like the judgment of God. So people will think, that Paulson, these Paul guys, that King James Bible, that's wrong. Look what's taking place out there. Look what's going to happen to America here pretty soon because America's turning the back on Israel. Here we go again with some other things. Something's going to happen. They'll probably blame the drought on Obama because he's turned his back on Israel so much as a nation. We're going to get hammered for that. And if we don't get hammered for that, that should prove them wrong. And if we do get hammered for that, that isn't why it's getting hammered. Because the scriptures don't say that. It doesn't prove that. That's the wrong application towards Israel and the Gentiles. Oh, it's unreal what's going on out there. And these people that want to, they scare people into thinking that we're almost in the tribulation. We're going to go through the tribulation. Look what's happening today. It's not anywhere close. What's happening today is going to happen in the future of the tribulation. But yes, I do believe we are getting closer and closer. And yet someday God will actually cut off the Gentile nation because they're against Paul. They're against the teachings of the risen Savior. And Paul and the teachings of the risen Savior put forth the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is not just blessing you. You've got to, let's get back on my subject here. The goodness of God is what He's done for us, what He's made me to do, what He has cut me away from, what He's done, you know, spiritually. Anyway, get back on trail here. God is the landlord, but He's letting the tenant do his thing, and that's the earth. The devil is the god of this world. God has stepped aside, and he's let this cursed world do what it's going to do. And this whole talk about God is sovereign, yes, he's the landlord. He owns everything. He can do what he wants when he wants to do it. But he's told us how it's going to be. So anything else that comes in a miraculous, good or bad way, is not from God. See, it doesn't do that anymore. Read your rightly divided King James Bible. Get your happiness back. Get your joy back. Happiness, that's a problem. Joy should always be there. The peace that passeth all understanding. The riches of understanding. It's just so many things there. Let's keep going here. Don't get me mixed up on this. Well, you ain't nothing to do with it. I'm just sitting here talking here, you know. Okay, what have I got written down here for some of my notes? God will let things happen, good and bad. Romans 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's not judging the lost world, and he's not judging the saved world. The saved people, when the time comes, they'll have the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And the lost people who will be dead in their sins will be judged in Revelation, the white stone judgment. Okay, let's get us in Romans chapter 2 also, by the way. Let's just get going here. What I wanted to talk about, how am I doing 15, 16 minutes already, you know me, of just introductory blurblab. But here we go. You know, this time that I've been out of the subject here, off the website, not being here like I used to be, I would get all my schoolwork done, I would get my music arranged and written, I would get my prep going and my typings, and then I go to bed. And I used to get up, then I would stay up till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning doing the sermon, answer the emails and the whole thing. But I haven't been doing that for a couple of weeks. How about a couple of months? And that bothers me. But I had to do that. So during that time, when I'm not writing this and doing the sermons and writing up some teachings and stuff, I'm out here in the world with everybody else. I'm going to the school. I'm dealing with kids. I'm reading other things as well. I'm seeing the news going on. I'm seeing these things happening. In some ways, I would like to believe that there's no hell, for example. It's hard to believe that there would be a place that awful and that bad for eternity. And you get that way if you're not careful by not reading the scriptures and not reminding yourself, listen, if hell is that bad, and I do believe that it is, and heaven is that good. But see, when you're with the people out here and you hear what they're saying about this and saying about that, they're oblivious to the fact that hell really is real. And they're just happy as all get out, doing their things, struggling with life like everybody else, but they're doing their day-to-day things. So, you know, I'd like to believe that there was no hell, but then you're going to have to believe that there's no heaven either. You can't have one or the other. You got to have hell or heaven, or not have hell and not have heaven. That means you're an evolutionist. You're gonna die and be whatever. I'll just die on my bed and I'll see what happens when I get on the other side. So, don't get me wrong. When I say things like I'm going to say here this morning, here I would like to believe that. I don't believe that stuff. But as you're out here with these people, you know, I like to believe there's no hell because then these people wouldn't be going to it when they get done. For example, I like to believe that all people are saved. You know, since Jesus died on the cross and he died for all of mankind, he died for sin, and he took care of all that stuff, then it's what, you know, the official term is the brotherhood. You know, it'd be nice if everybody was saved. They're mixed up. Oh, sure, they're mixed up. You know, they got different desires of things. They're good people. You know, they want to do the right thing. They know what the right thing is, but they still try to do the good thing, the right thing. You know, they're sincere about it. Some people are much better now that they've been born again, as they call it. Some people even see what's wrong with America more than they were before. They even see what's wrong with religion, even though they still claim a religion. In fact, you know, it's too bad. I like to believe that all religions are all okay. It's just whichever one pleases you in your search for joy and happiness. All religion denominations, there's tons of them, you know, there's many, many of them. It's too bad that the music that goes on, you know, the doctrine is different, but everybody's got different doctrines, whatever they mean. Well, you know, there's people, good and bad people in these places. They got good building programs. You want to find a place that you can find the people that you would like to be around. You like their doctrine. You like the music they do. You like the programs they have. Different churches have better programs, different money. They can afford different things. The kids have fun, different places more than others. Be nice to find a, you know, real nice, friendly, loving pastor and his wife, or his wife, or the wife is a pastor and a loving husband or whatever. You know, these people are sincere. They're very good givers, some of them. These places are not built by, you know, by nickels and dimes. They get money from somebody. Some people, they have a lot of money through their life. They just give it to these religions. They give it to these denominations. Or the pastors have made these big, jumps for debt that says, listen, if we build, they'll come. Well, they're finding out they don't come. And then they're stuck with these debts and they lose the church. But some of them still find people that give. They give well. It's just, it's frustrating, you know, when you see some of these people give a $10,000 gift. We used to get $5,000 and $6,000 gifts in the church back in Washington. That used to happen in those days. And part of it was because they felt like they had to give a tithe. And they call it, to this day, they still call them tithes and offerings. I've talked to them. You go to these churches and they're very active. Lots of people are very active in them. They're family oriented. You know, children go to this place and the wives go to this place and the teens go to this part of the thing and the husbands stay here and talk about hunting and have hunting meetings and Bible studies and things. Baptisms are very exciting in different places. Communion is a very encouraging thing to people. They all come together so well. You know, there's good music programs. They sing really well. The church, everybody sings Amazing Grace. Anybody can sing Amazing Grace, and it seems to fit them. They seem to be satisfied with that. But it's talking about being saved, and you were a wretched person, you know. But they don't look at the word. They love the music, bagpipes especially, you know. Then there's the old rugged cross, you know. It's really too bad. All these religions don't just have a little touch of truth, and that's all it takes because Jesus died for everybody, and we're just trying to have our own good time here. You know, it would be nice to believe that God likes the reborn, the born-again crowd, you know, and the growth of this modern Christianity, because there seems to be a lot growing. They're either getting away from any division because any different Bible works in their church. Music, everybody's happy with the music now. It's all the rhythmic-oriented, so they're satisfied with that. They can share pastors because some people don't have pastors, so they can travel from denomination to denomination. That's a good thing, you know, so far as they're concerned. They have a great time musically with worship for those people that are talented and can play piano and sing and play instruments and drums and stuff. They seem to be quite happy. The TV guys seem to be reaching thousands and thousands of people, millions of people in some claims. You know, it would be nice to believe that these people, that what they're doing is they're getting ready for Jesus to come, you know. They're getting ready. They're just preparing for that. They really believe that he's coming. And he is coming, no doubt. But they're looking at Revelation chapter 6. If they're looking at any scriptures at all, they will pull out Revelation chapter 6. See, Jesus is coming. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be a rough time. They understand that, but it's still Jesus is coming. They don't know that it's Revelation 6. That's the Antichrist. And for those that do believe in the Antichrist type stuff, they know that that's going to be, he's doing his thing, but they're immune to that because they're saved. They're born again, and they don't have to worry about that. Now, it's just, you know, what do they say? Ignorance is a blizzard, I guess, or something like that. Ignorance is bliss, and or whatever. You know, it would be nice to think that America's finally, according to what they're saying, that, you know, America's finally coming around after 250 years of being a very bad country, very, very, very slave-oriented and not friendly to the world, and they're getting rid of all of our standards of marriage, you know, and the lifestyles. America's getting so much better because so many more people are happier, and the government's going to be paying for more people to just not have jobs and, you know, the whole thing. It's I guess people really believe that this country's finally coming around to be a good country, and it's those Bible guys that are kind of getting in the way. But even the Bible guys out there are starting to think that things aren't all that bad, you know. It'd be nice to believe that born again is truly a salvation. It would be nice to believe that being born again means you're saved. Because if it's not what it means, then there's thousands and thousands of people that are thinking they're saved, but they're not. I'd like to believe that all these people that say they're born again, that they're Christians. I'd like to think that, well, you know, they didn't get the right Bible as such, you know, but they didn't get the right, but they got a denomination. They love Jesus, they love God, and they're just not educated properly. They don't understand the truth. Well, I'd like to believe that these people are Christians, but I know myself, I can't. I know that's different. I know that the country is worse than it's ever been. I know that the world is getting ready for the Antichrist to come down, not the Jesus, not the regular Christ. I know that this whole reborn, rebirth stuff of modern Christianity is false. I know that. I know that all religions like this are not all okay. I know that all people are not saved with what they call their brotherhood. And I know that there is a hell and there is a heaven. I believe that. So don't get this odd little sermon here mixed up with what we're talking about here. I'm just trying to show you that, you know, as I was out in this country, in this town, and around for all these things, all the stuff you see all this stuff going on. It would really be nice if it was right, but you know it's not. You know it is not. It would be nice to believe, for example, here, that the King James Bible isn't just the sword of the Spirit. It isn't the gospel of their salvation. It isn't the only word of truth. Because if it is, then there, again, just like the born-again statement, there are thousands of people that did not have the sword of the Spirit. They did not receive the operation made without hands. Their Bibles is not the gospel of their salvation, so they don't have their salvation. And if it is the only word of truth, then just about everybody out there now does not have any idea about truth. That would mean if the King James Bible wasn't the sword of the Spirit, then all these other Bibles are fine. But if it is the sword of the Spirit, if it is the gospel of your salvation, if it is the only word of truth, the only word of God, words of God, then all the other Bibles are corrupt. Corrupt. And you start thinking about this word corrupt. Something that's corrupted won't work. Bibles that are corrupted won't work. They won't work in them that believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. They're not the sword of the Spirit. They will not cut away your soul from the flesh. They will not do that. So they're corrupt. They don't do their thing. They are an imitation Bible. They are being taught by imitation pastors, if they talk about Bible at all anyway. And they all attend imitation churches, which teach an imitation doctrine. And they come up with imitation Christians who worship and praise the God of this world with their imitation music. Which means that most of our friends and most of our family are lost. I'd like to believe they're not. I'd like to think all this other stuff works, but I know better. I've read this King James Bible. I understand rightly dividing. I could answer their questions if they would just ask. But anyway, I would like to know that I'm going to see my loved ones again someday. That's what they say, you know. But if we look at Daniel chapter 7, let's take a quick look to Daniel chapter 7 here. I'd like to see my loved ones in the future, but I don't think I'm going to see as many of them as I would like to. But then here's a statement. For those people that want to see their loved ones again someday, but they weren't getting along down here on earth, why do they want to see them again in heaven? Everything will be made better or whatever. It's so humanistic, this love of the family. I would sure love to see them again someday. Well, do you believe that they're watching what you're doing today? I mean, this whole thing gets into this humanistic love story and these stories that just don't exist. You find them in the guideposts. They got miracles here, miracles here. Oh, I'm sure that was my Uncle Frank that was here when that took place because they saw me do this and they're thrilled. Yeah, but don't you think they saw you do this other thing that you did in the dark of the evening? Don't you think they saw that too? You know? I'm there to play my instrument for Aunt Judy because, you know, she always supported me, so I'm there. She was there to help me through the concert. You know, all that stuff. It's just all over in magazines and things here. Daniel chapter 7, for example. I beheld in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Antichrist of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I do believe that we're going to see it. This is just me. We are going to see our loved ones again, but we're not going to see them the way we hope to. Chances are we're going to see them at that judgment there because I believe that we're going to be in the thousand thousands ministering unto him. And the 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That'll be the people we know. That'll be our family out there, most of them, if not all of them. But it sure be nice to believe that that wouldn't be true. But see, I look at the scriptures as understandable and true. You know, being the musician that I am, and I can write music and arrange music and play the different instruments and stuff, it would sure be nice to think that the music in our churches is pleasing to God. We know that the Bible says God wants to hear the melody, and there's very little melody going on. It's the rhythm, that the beat that excites people in the churches, and yet I like to think that God likes this music. I could have been in the music. In fact, I was in the music ministry for years up in the big church, and we really had it going. I was writing a big musical thing for the whole gang, a cantata, and directing a choir and an orchestra. And I realized someday that this isn't right. This is not right. I like to think it, but it's not. Then all this going on in the churches, say this music is just going to please the devil. Well, what about the Antichrist? Well, of course, in Daniel chapter 3, we got here verse 5, verse 7, verse 10, verse 15, says that when you hear all kinds of music, you're going to bow down to and worship Nebuchadnezzar, the image, who is a type of Antichrist. And so music is going to be the kicker for when the Antichrist comes. You really believe that? Yeah, I do. I'd like to believe that it's not, and I'd like to believe that all the music going on in these churches is just bringing everybody together. It's so exciting, so enjoyable, so sparky, but it's not. I know what it's doing. It's prepping people for the coming of the Antichrist. When they hear that music, Antichrist is going to show up. That's where this is headed. I believe that. I have without a doubt. I like to think it's not, but I do believe that is true. In some respects, I wish it wasn't just Paul only, King James only, because there's so many different Bibles out there. You got neat little study notes, you got neat little maps and pictures and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you can read your Gospels, all those things that took place, all those are so exciting. And Paul is just about faith. You don't get to see anything, you just have to believe, and Christ will open your eyes to the spiritual things, and yet the physical things are just a mess out here. But I know it has to be Paul only. And there's a joy there. There's a joy because it's his faith. It's his operation that he has done. So don't get me wrong. It's too bad it is just Paul only, but we know that it is. And there is a benefit to being Paul only. No confusing preachers, no confusing corrupted Bibles. Denominations would be wiped out. The whole thing would be true. Well, it'll be that way someday. And I'd like to think here, for example, I'd like to think that Jesus is coming next. Because everybody sure seems to be excited about that. But I know it's not him. I know it's the Antichrist. But I'm not worried about being here when the Antichrist comes and does his thing. We're going to know who it is according to Thessalonians, but we're not going to be part of it. So, Revelation 19, I know it's when Jesus is coming. So in all this PR and magazines and movies and books about Jesus this and Jesus that. And Passion of the Christ, that movie is tame compared to what's floating around now. And yet that movie, Passion of the Christ, had the eye bruise, whatever. And that was the Antichrist. And these movies are all about the Antichrist. You want to learn about the Antichrist? Go to these movies and see what's going on. See what they teach and see what they preach. That's not about the real Jesus. That's not about the goodness of God. That is not about Paul's dispensation of grace. It's not about that at all. It's not about Revelation 19. It's about Revelation 6. And it's about all this corruptness that's going on in Christianity. People are being told that it's real. And it is. It's really wrong. It would be nice to have this happiness that everybody else seems to have. But when they go to bed at night, they've got these fears. They've got this hatred. There's this the lack of knowing. They're scared. They don't know how they're going to get out of debt. They don't know how they're going to get out of the messes. And they don't know if they have a job or not tomorrow. They feel bad for their kids. They feel bad for themselves. They don't have that faith, and they don't have that trust and that sufficiency in God's grace. They don't even have the scriptures. Some of these men especially know that they're in the wrong church. They're doing the wrong thing. Their family's being deceived, but they just don't have either the strength or the courage, or the family just won't let them make any decision to get out of that mess. So they put their head in their pillow at night and they think, yeah, this is a mess. I'll read my Bible, but I sure don't want to read this Paul stuff because it seems so difficult to understand. Are you kidding? There's nothing easier to understand than Paul's writings. Anyway, here. It would be nice to have fun in every day where you go. To just have fun. That's all people care about is fun. Now, to enjoy something is one thing. But to have fun, two different things. I preached that a long time ago. We can enjoy things, but this fun feeds the flesh. Enjoyment deals with the mind, and you know that you're enjoying yourself. But to let loose and have fun, that's a fleshly thing. You know, it would be nice as a teacher or as a former pastor or website pastor, whatever. It would be nice to be respected. It would be nice to be loved. It would be nice to be appreciated. It would be nice to be looked up to by the younger people or by other people in your family or whatever. It'd be nice if you would actually be listened to, if they would take heed on what was preached or what you show for your experience and tell them about stuff like that. It would be nice if that was the way they treat their pastors in their churches, that they would do the same for me, for example. How about you? Wouldn't you like to be respected and loved and appreciated and looked up to, be listened to for what you've learned or what you've been through, your experience? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, we know that isn't going to be. You know, you can go anywhere you want, and you can do anything you want these days. They don't care. Everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. Matter of fact, this is such a self-oriented generation. The pictures they take are all of themselves, the selfies, the selfie picture. Here I am, 2 feet away, with my head looking a little oblong. Here's what I had for lunch and my teeth. Ta-da, there's a picture of that. Here's my new haircut. Here are my toenails I had fixed today. It's like, what is this? They're just so sold on themselves. Do they think that somebody else wants to see their face in a distorted fashion because you have a new tattoo on your cheek? It's all about themselves today. Buddha said, you know, be a lamp unto yourself. Be your own confidence. Hold the truth of you in you. Oh, it's just religion. It is. It's terrible. They say, it's so good knowing that Jesus is at my side. And those footprints you see are Jesus carrying me and all this kind of stuff. Are you kidding? Jesus is in us. He's not at my side. If he was at my side, he would leave when I'm around some of the things I'm around, or places I have to go, or the music that I get involved with sometimes. He would leave. But see, he can't. He's in us. Christ did that operation, so he, through the Holy Spirit, can be in us. He can't leave. We're sealed. Maybe that's why we feel the way we feel when we are around these churches, when we are around these other pastors, when we are around this other music. We get this feeling of you want to explode, you want to do something about this, is because the Spirit of God in you is not happy. It's being quenched, it's being grieved because we're there. Well, some cases we have to be there. We have to do what we have to do. And it could be the result of why things are the way they are in our lives today. Those of us that understand Paul, understand the King James Bible, understand rightly dividing, we have that challenge in us because that's the Spirit of God saying to us, listen, we ought not be here. But if you have to be there, you've got to deal with it. So you've still got to have that peace, knowing that it isn't going to cause you, you know, God's cursings put upon you. God isn't going to get you for it. It's going to burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. But that's it. You know, people would feel better if they have something to do with their salvation. They want to be baptized. They want to have some kind of communion of some sort. Different baptisms, different types of communions. They want to be able to confess their sins, and then they can be that peaceful Christian. My peace comes from the fact that I know that he took care of that stuff, and he took care of it once, he took care of it for all. Any of the things I'm doing now are still recorded in my flesh, not on my soul and my Spirit of God. He's given me the Spirit of God in me. And so these things that I'm doing today, they're going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ. They just are. And I'm bothered by that. But some things you just have to do. And you all know what I mean. We just have to do these things. I try to keep it down as much as I can. I try to control the music as much as I can. I try to teach what I can teach, dealing with music as much as I can. That just leaves an impression for later on years. But you know those later on years are going to use that music to worship the Antichrist. But you do what you can do. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we weren't considered an extremist? All these different religions coming out now, some of them are very violent, and the word extremist is coming around, terrorists. Those Paul-only guys, King James-only guys, the rightly dividing Paul-only, following the risen Savior teaching guys. You know, there's even King James Bible believers that think we're extreme. They think that we're crazy. There's even grace people out there, the grace ministries, think that we're a little nuts. So we talk about Timothy and Titus, and I say what I say about the music. Wouldn't it be nice if we could talk about it with people? They won't even let us talk about it. Wouldn't it be nice if people would listen to what we had to say? They won't listen. They won't ask for more. Wouldn't it be nice if you did try to stick yourself in there, they wouldn't get so angry? Why? I just, as you can say, friend, why are you so angry? I just mentioned the King James Bible rightly dividing Paul. Do you know this Paulson guy? I've heard people hear that. I thought, well, gee, I guess that's nice that I'm so internationally famous. But I know there's others out there. They just don't have a website, I guess. There's others out there that understand Paul rightly dividing a King James Bible, and they don't, and they get into the Timothy and Titus stuff. Sometimes they overdo the Timothy and Titus stuff and make that a guilt trip as well. I don't know. Do I have it all together? Are you kidding? But I do believe what I have on the website is true, and it's worth your study time, and if people would study it, they'd get the basics, they would understand that day-to-day life is what's more important than your brain. But anyway, let's keep looking at this thing here. Wouldn't it be nice, this is very personally, wouldn't it be nice if I could just get all my schoolwork done and the music written and arranged and typed and handouts to the kids, and I could come home and I could answer the emails, you know, and then I could work on the website for a while and get a new sermon together. This, even just this sermon today has taken me a couple hours, easily 2 or 3 hours to prepare this thing till I can somewhat kind of talk on this audio thing. And we're up to 41 minutes already, I see, so... Wouldn't it be nice if it was just like it was in the old days? You know, those of you that are with us from the beginning, we just had a local church, you know, and we could talk. We talked about, we had the webcam going. We could see each other, you know, and there was money coming in for the ministry. We kept it going. There was a testimony in the community. Nobody liked the testimony, but I saw eventually people not wanting to live what they believed. So we know how it fell apart. We understand that. But wouldn't it be nice if it didn't have to be that way? Wouldn't it be nice if people will love what I have to preach, what you have to preach, what you have to say, what the website, wouldn't it be nice if there were people clicking all over that website, all over the place? That would be so nice. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get some sleep doing all this stuff and just relax, all the bills are paid, and we're healthy, you know? You know. I've got down here, wouldn't it be nice to people love to hear, I'm thinking to myself here, love to hear what I have learned in my life. I'm 65 years old. Does anybody want to learn what it's like to go through 65 years? And I'll tell you some stuff, kids. Oh, please, sir, tell me what it's like. How can I get through my years? You know, tell me about life. Tell me about music. What can I do to do the right kind of music that would please God? And about this Bible. Dear Pastor Paulson, there's so many Bibles out there, I don't know what to look to. What do you think I should be looking at? You know, and about music. Does our music please God? That kind of stuff. Listen, we're not doing music here in some cases because I just won't do it. But I've had to compromise. I've had to let some stuff in there. And yet while I'm doing that, I'm holding back. And do I have to explain this to anybody out there? No, because I'm... How do you compromise to make things keep going in your family? What are you sacrificing to? You got to keep things. You're trying to stay with it all. We're all in the same boat. We all try to do that. So then, when I get done looking at all these things, wouldn't it be nice to believe this? Wouldn't it be nice? Well, we know it's not. We know it's not nice to believe that stuff because they're wrong. They are headed for hell. They are not pleasing God in their walk if they are truly saved based on Paul's teachings. There's still going to be a tremendous amount to burn at their judgment seat of Christ. But right now we don't seem to care. We're just fighting over whether you really think there's a rapture coming. It just seems to me things are so bad that there must not be a rapture coming. You're not reading your scriptures. You're putting your faith on what you see. You're not going by the scriptures. There has to be a rapture if the tribulation is geared toward the Jews with the severity of God, which we know it to be. And we also know that Paul, through Christ's teachings, said that we are saved from God's wrath. So relax. We're not going to go through the tribulation. But it does say... Now, let's finish this sermon up here a little bit with some encouraging and eye-opening things a little bit here. We've got 44 minutes. That's going to be one of my average, my normal 1 hour sermons by the time I'm done here. But let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're looking at it here. Here's some advice from Paul towards what I was just talking about. Here's just a few tidbits of advice here. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. talking about riches and the love of money, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, what Paul taught to Timothy, he said to Timothy, what I say to you, I want you to take out and teach other people. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So even though Paul is talking to Timothy, these scriptures that he talks to Timothy about, they're also to be taught to us and to me. And keep in mind that in the book of Timothy, there are verses in there that are written to women, to ladies, and two men, different ones. So we even have to rightly divide the rightly divided scriptures of Paul. Okay, a couple other quick things here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we did 11 and 12. Look down to verse 17. 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world. And listen, anybody thinks we're poor, we still live in America. We still have things that we probably shouldn't have. That's why some of us are in the debt we're in, you know. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Not have fun, but to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Then he says, I'll just keep reading. It's hard to stop reading scriptures, you know that? O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, teach it to somebody else. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Is there not a big talk on evolution and space? All these things are suddenly, notice they still have the words probably, could be. All these millions of years, and here's a picture of a star a million years ago. Oh, bunk and baloney. But people fall for that stuff. I hear the stargazer report, whatever, when I put it on my socks and stuff in the morning, all about the same time, the stargazer report, and it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You would really believe that about, you know, whatever. It's just something else. And then we talked about let me read this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I just have to ask all of us, would people see that in us? For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Has Paul's teachings, has Paul's writings, risen Savior, the goodness of God, entered into you, and have you turned from idols to God? Then the next, it says, to serve the living and true God. It's not about a battle to battle these other people with what is right or wrong, what is true or not. I mean, we want to talk to people about it, but we're getting frustrated because that's all we seem to care about. And what we need to be doing here is turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul can tell us how to do that. The risen Savior tells us how we can serve the living and true God. And it's not just about bashing and battering and arguing with the people that are out there. If they want to ask you why you won't do something, then tell them. Don't be afraid to tell them that this isn't what the scriptures, you know, da 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 da. Go ahead and tell people stuff. But they're not, you know, they're just not listening. Fine. Let them not listen. But you want to serve the living and true God. And then he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The tribulation has not already taken place. There are still things that we have to deal with in our day-to-day walk for ourselves. Be glad that you haven't died yet, because now you can still learn to live even more and serve the living God. And that's what we need to be concerned about here. Let's do a couple other quick ones here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I think I read that one. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I read that. Chapter 2. Here we go. I'll still go back to that verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read verse 2. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then right after that it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So right before that, we realize we've been taught, stay away from all these affairs. The country's falling apart. It's going to fall apart. Government's turning against Israel. That's what's going to happen. The schooling, that's what's going to, it's going to happen, folks. And he says, don't get involved. We have a different fight to fight, Ephesians chapter 6, etc., etc., spiritual battle. Then he says, by the way, in verse 3, endure hardness. All these things happen in our country are going to cause hardness to us. All these religions, all these people believing what they're believing, the shape of the country, the politics, the taxes, the expenses, the economy, all going global. Da, da, da. We know the story. Yes, there's people even taking the mark now. I know they are, but they don't have to. It said, it goes on and on. Listen, it's going to be difficult for us. It's going to get harder. He tells us to endure hardness. Right after he tells us to tell somebody else, teach those that are able to teach others. It's all in the little group right there. And then he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, all things are lawful. Yes, but some things are not expedient. Remember the strings to our all things are lawful? So if we still should be doing the right thing. There's no doubt about that. And there's more things here. 2 Timothy, verse 15, that's about the money. Here we go. This is going to make the sermon till I'm going to throw it in here anyway. We go down, you know, money is the thing. Money, money, money. Everything has to do with money. Whether you're going to help someone or not, you got to give them money. How much do you tip this guy? Is it a big enough tip? How do you help this guy? Everything is money oriented. And I'm sorry to say, how do you help this website? Money. How do you help me? Money. It's there. We all know that we have become money oriented. But we have to remember, and I think of these scriptures all the time. Listen to what happens when you love money. Where are we at here? Let's see, 1 Timothy chapter 6. There we go. 1 Timothy, here's the money thing. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Our kids, our children, our family people, they want money. The kids, they want a job because they want that money. They want it so badly. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, remember that. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Is maybe part of our sorrows because of the money issue in our life? It goes on and goes on. Well, I was going to read to you here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 16. This is what we can be doing. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Have you studied enough to show that you're approved? That you are in God's camp? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they'll increase into more ungodliness. Are you shunning those things that are out there? Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, that the tribulation has already come, Jesus has already been here, that whole stuff, you know, and oversold the faith is what they do. And it goes on. There's other things I could talk about. It's a fight. You know, but one of the last things Paul says is, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. It's a fight. Verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me when he was dealing with Alexander the coppersmith and nobody else was with him. He said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Apparently, God still wants somebody to hear from somebody. We need to teach somebody something. But in the meantime, let's keep our joy. Let's keep our happiness. Let's keep this thing going here, you know. I'll do my best to be around, but we got this thing together today. We have an audio. I hope it was able to be loaded and installed and can be heard out there. And if it was, it was nice to be able to get something out to you again. It's been a long time since I've talked to you, and it's been a long time talking to you too, about 50 minutes here. Let's see if I can cut some of this out. So anyway, there's my talk for today. Understand your Bible, and you'll have a great time as things get harder and harder.